Blog Talk Radio.
Quite frankly, we the best.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
get the light,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up on a 2-hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table, five Philly guys diversified and educated.
All right, everybody, it's Thursday, March 15th, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to the roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me is the rest of the greatest starting five in sports, Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. This is an action-packed Thursday. We got NFL free agency, NBA trade deadline, the NCAA tournament is underway. In about 28 minutes, we'll be talking to stand-up comedian Aaron Jackson about comedy and sports. Make that about 40 minutes. As usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight. So get into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly on the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, we want to give some shout-outs to our radio family. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And also follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. Also, you can check out our homies Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. That's ueradiolive.com. If you love good sports talk, then, you know, check out our radio fam and get your fix. But right now, Jimmy's going to tell everybody who's having a birthday.
It's my birthday! Yay!
What's up, gentlemen? How y'all doing this evening?
Chilling.
All right, let's just jump right into the birthdays. And by the way, for those who don't know, the birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Make sure to ask Felisa when you go. Again, that's Days of Beauty Hair Salon, 9221 Oxon Hill Road. Okay, the first birthday I want to bring up to you gentlemen is one Kevin Edmund Euclid, who turns 33.
My birthday! Yay!
Seth, when I say Kevin Euclid, what comes to mind?
Ukes! Yo, when I think of Kevin Euclid, man, all I can think about is this dude has one of the craziest, funniest batting stances I've ever seen in my life. You know, I wish we were doing like a little simulcast right here because I'd get up from my chair and actually show the people who don't know. The dude has the craziest, funniest batting stance I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he definitely does. Kevin.
John look borderline stupid.
Yeah, Kevin Euclid, I mean, he's obviously synonymous with the Red Sox, and you always hear his name, especially when the Red Sox are winning World Series. He's first baseman, a few all-stars, career .289 hitter. He's solid. Before first baseman, he doesn't really smack homers like most of the current first basemen do. So, like, he had 17 last year, but I guess that was all right.
Yeah, no doubt. Austin.
Bull looks like a drunk praying mantis when he's at bat.
He's not a drunk praying mantis.
a drunk praying mantis, though. Yeah, basically, when it comes to me, that's the only thing I can think of. And the kid was right. He definitely is not a huge power hitter like most first basemen are in the major leagues. But anyway, shout out to him on his butt. Go to that
question. What is your defensive position have to do with your offensive capabilities? Like, I never got that in baseball.
Well,
never understood.
It's because certain guys who are power hitters, a lot of them have limitations on defense. So they're put in a position where they really don't have to cover that much field.
A lot of them are, like, bigger guys, you know.
Like, Prince Fielder plays first base a lot of times. You're not going to put Prince Fielder in left field, center field, or shortstop. Because that means
Ryan Howard
cover a lot of ground.
Right.
Ryan Howard plays first base.
It's just not a lot of action.
not a lot of action going up there, you know, unless you got a lefty who just likes to pull it down the line. But, you know, that's rare, you know, considering.
But Ryan Howard doesn't do anything on offense either but swing real hard.
You know, Ryan Howard is puts up numbers. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I was about to say, his numbers would beg to differ.
Yeah, his numbers beg to differ. He may not be that clutch, but in terms of just production, he definitely has production. But
so what y'all saying is he's like a LeBron. Never mind. Go ahead. Next birthday, man.
Okay, let's move on to the next birthday. The next birthday I want to bring up is one Robert Terrell, or Terrell, however you want to say it, a.k.a. Terry Cummings. He turns 51.
Yay!
I want to start with Brother Kill because I know Brother Kill remembers Terry Cummings.
Yo, Terry, I was like you said, back in Central Days, it'd be at the court, and I'd be like, yo, I'm about to go to the rack like Terry Cummings, and nobody gave Terry Cummings his props. I mean, in his prime, for about a four-year stretch, he was averaging about 22-8 a game, like, you know, shooting about 48% from the field. And he was the second pick of the draft in the 82 draft with DePaul. But in 1992, what hurt his career is he averaged 17 points 91-92. And then he had a serious leg injury playing in a pickup game, and all of a sudden his average went to like 3, 7, 6, 8, 8, 8. And he was also known as a strong power forward. He used to put, like, that grown man strength on you, and you couldn't move. So shout out to him.
Yeah, well, I was Kill the only.
Now you see why I started with Kill, right? Because I remember, yeah. I actually remember those days when Kill used to come to the court, and if it wasn't Terry Cummings, you know, his favorite was Ralph Sampson. So he's the name. Everybody else would be like, you know, me, Michael or Dominique, and Kill comes with, like, you know. You know, some old random player, yo.
He was the only kid in America trying to play like Terry Cummings at the playground. You were like, here? But, besides, you know, all the information that Kill gave, there's nothing really left to say except for the fact that he played a bartender in the movie Love and Basketball when he was talking to Zeke McCall and his son, Quincy McCall, you know, about should he go on the draft or not. That's Terry Cummings. He's a thespian.
I didn't even know that.
Terry Cummings gripped Chris Webber up and said, "Listen, young fella, I ain't with all that silent. Be easy." And Chris Webber being kind of a little soft.
Yo, y'all remember he started two games for the Sixers in the 97-98 season? Played 44 games with the Sixers. And he's also a pastor now. He did like four of his teammates' weddings, like Sean Elliott and some other cat.
Okay, so shout out to him. He got a nice little shout out on his birthday. You know what I'm saying? Getting that G-chat. Yo, the next birthday I want to bring up is one William Clay Matthews Jr.
Oh, snap.
So,
my bad.
So,
how old is he turning today?
It's 56. Dev, William Clay Matthews Jr., I'm going to start with you.
All right, this is one of three generations of the Matthews family. He's actually the second generation of Matthews to play in the NFL, and he's probably the most famous one, you know, unless you're a prisoner of the moment and you're only thinking of Clay Matthews III, who plays for the Packers. But, you know, he was a linebacker for the Browns, and he was tough. The Matthews, you know, they got a nice little lineage of football players, of course, except for the one who plays in Philadelphia. That's ironic.
Give him some time, man. Give him some time. I'm not saying he will be good. I'm just saying let's get a young man some time before we, you know, say FOH to him. Be often.
Yo, I thought for a minute that he and his son were going to be able to play in the NFL together. Yo, because him and his brother played. Yo, they played forever. They played in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, and into the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kel, what you got, Kel?
Well, I mean, Clay played close to the 2000s. He got played in 96, but he got drafted in 78. He got drafted in 78, so homie put in 19 years, like, at that point, it's like, homie, why don't you just play one more year to make it a full, you know, full square, make it 20. So, Shout out to him and his lineage and their gene pool.
Yo, I'm not sure the year that the grandpa played, but I know he was born in like 1926. So he probably played way back in the leather helmet days.
Played with Red Grange.
Played with George Clooney. Yo, anyway, I mean, y'all get that later. Anyway, listen, I want to send a rest in peace shout out to one Norman Mack, a.k.a. Norm Van Brocklin.
My birthday, yay!
Shout out to him. He passed away in 1983. You know, the great Norm Van Brocklin.
One fact about him, and we can move on. But do y'all realize that Norm Van Brocklin was the quarterback on the last Philadelphia Eagles championship team? Yes, people, they did play football before they changed the name of the game to the Super Bowl. No, I'm not bragging on them winning a championship in 1960 because I don't care. But he was the quarterback of the 1960 NFL champion Philadelphia Eagle.
He's the greatest Eagles quarterback.
He ain't even playing for the Eagles long enough.
Shout out to Norm Van Brocklin.
Shout out to Norm Van Brocklin, and shout out to Dwayne Thomas, who's already in the chat room talking about he's excited to be a New Yorker right now. So shout out to him. We're going to get to that in a little bit.
Because his man D'Antoni got canned.
Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the ground.
All right. We got some crazy stories that happened this week while you guys were on the grind. We had a middle school basketball coach. It's a middle school rivalry that basically took a violent turn on Friday. After two sixth grade teams played at the Holy Name School in Springfield, Massachusetts, for the boys' championship game, when they were lining up to shake hands afterwards, one coach, the coach on the losing team, attacked the coach of the winning team. People had to pull him apart, and in the middle of the melee, this coach bit the other coach's ear off. Yo, where is there room for this kind of foolishness at a middle school basketball game, man?
That's sad, man.
I'm never speechless.
However, and this dude is, his name is Timothy Lee Forbes. He's a 34-year-old from Springfield, and he assaulted the coach of the winning team. I don't know what he thought that he could have done that would enrage somebody to that point that you do this after the game, but you know, he bit the man's ear off.
Yo, Dev, maybe he listened to this.
I'm the most brutal, most vicious, and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Yo, every time I hear that, yeah. I want to eat your children. Praise be to Allah. I ain't going to praise God after you just threatened me with cannibalism.
I mean, all I want to say is, you know, shout out to Mike Tyson. It's funny because when I heard the story, the first thing I thought of was Mike Tyson, which is sad, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's why I'm like, who wouldn't? Seriously. Like, who wouldn't think of Mike Tyson when they heard that? When he's synonymous with biting people's ears off, and that's a crazy thing to be synonymous with. But let's move on. All right, you guys know that Brandon Marshall actually got traded from Miami to the Bears earlier this week for two third-round picks. You know, a lot of conspiracy theorists thought, well, maybe Peyton said he'd sign with Miami, but he didn't want to play with Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. That's all besides the point. The point is, Sunday, 2 days before he was traded, he got in some more trouble in a nightclub where some people said that their group was celebrating a birthday for a female, and they got into an altercation with Brandon Marshall, and he allegedly punched the birthday girl in her eye.
Oh, my gosh.
This is my question to you guys, though. Not even to Chuck, because, you know, we're used to talking about Brandon Marshall and the police and all that kind of stuff. I'm thinking, did Miami know this before they, you know, decided to off him onto another team? Or do y'all think, you know, you think it was innocent on Miami's part? Or do you think they knew it and like, yeah, we got to get rid of this guy?
They could have, but at the same time, I mean, they can face repercussions if they, if it comes out they haven't proved that they did know. they may face repercussions. But with that being said, his history is, like, you know, egregious. This is
Yo,
the first
all he does is beat on women.
Yeah,
I
pretty
know.
Much.
Catch touchdown. Oh.
Yeah, man, he hit more women than Pretty Tony, but, you know, he has issues, you know.
And his wife was with him in the club.
Yeah, because what he actually said was he said his wife was hit across the face with a bottle, and they were trying to get out of the club. You know how I like to speculate when we have these kind of stories. So here's my little speculative story. His wife probably got into a little beef with the birthday girl and her crew. They probably smacked his wife across the face with a bottle, and he probably punched the woman in the eye as retaliation for that. But his lawyer comes out and says that there was an altercation in the club. Brandon Marshall and the people he was with had nothing to do with it. They were just trying to leave the club when the incident went down.
Yeah, his wife probably said, I was going to say his wife probably said, like, hold up, I just got hit across with a bottle. And I believe his wife, when she was his fiance, she pressed some charges against him. So she probably was like, yo, you better beat her worse than you beat me. And he just went for it.
Y'all like how we just make stories up here. That's what we do. We just make stories.
I think he was selling coke, and that they tried to burn him. No, mind. Let's just keep it along.
I think what I believe happened was he tried to slide off around a corner and get the birthday girl to give him some peanut live. And and when she wouldn't get down with his team, he got a little enraged because he was inebriated. And or she might even use teeth because she was a little inebriated. And so he socked her.
He pulled the 38 out. Let's leave it alone, man.
Next story. This is a little story from last night. You know, the Chicago Bulls, the roseless Chicago Bulls, beat the Miami Heat at the United Center in Chicago last night. But there was some stuff going on up in the stands that we didn't know about. According to ESPN Chicago, Dwayne Wade Sr., his dad, was ejected from last night's game for constant use of profanity. Now, the report says that Mr. Wade was asked to stop, but he didn't, and therefore he was ejected from the game. You know, the United Center put out a statement saying how wholesome they try to keep their atmosphere in their game, and Mr. Wade just had to go. What y'all think about, first of all, what could he have been cursing about? The fact that they couldn't beat the Bulls without Derrick Rose on the floor?
He probably was cussing at LeBron.
He was probably cursing because... Never mind. You don't like men. You don't like men using purses.
Well, his son wear onesie, so I mean, he might have been cursing at that.
He wears the words. He definitely rocks the Fabio shirts.
Yeah, Wayne Wade on some new Incredible Hulk. Gabrielle got him tripping, got him out there slipping. This last story, man, is crazy. All right. Back in February, there was a soccer match in Cairo. I mean, it was in Egypt in the city of Port Said between Cairo Club, I can't pronounce that, and another club from Port Said. The home team won 3-1, but during this soccer match, a riot broke out. The home team's fans just went on the fans of the losing team, and 74 people got killed in this soccer riot. So now there are murder charges for 75 people. You know, they said the riot began minutes after the final whistle. They said there was a killing frenzy that witnesses said lasted 30 minutes. They were throwing people off of the stands, like the high stands. It was crazy. They were lighting explosives. Why do they take soccer so serious on the other side of the world? Anybody know?
Yo.
Jihad. Jihad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, like, when you hear these stories, it doesn't even shock me, though. And that's what's crazy. I mean, they have a culture over there where they take their sport serious, man. You know, and you would think
today's NBA stars wouldn't last 2 seconds being a soccer player in most places in the world.
But not
Derrick Rose might.
People off the grandstands, man.
forget the players, the fans. These NBA fans, because, yo, they get buck wild. They don't play no games. I mean, it's a matter of life and death, literally, when you play over there.
We don't play no games. I'm never surprised when I hear about a soccer riot and, you know, a lot of people getting hurt, injured or whatever, but 74 people are killed at a soccer game. Like, you take your soccer that seriously. Like, I'm a diehard Philly fan, and I've gotten into some heated arguments, some heated sports arguments about this, that, and the third, but I can't imagine, like, killing somebody.
Yo, I feel you. There's only one person. I feel you. There's only one person ever associated with Philadelphia sports that I wanted to kill, and I ain't getting into that. So this is a ridiculous.
They're
going to
come looking for you, man. They're going to come looking
And I want him to. And I want
that
to happen.
Him. I'm talking about the authorities, man. That's a threat.
I ain't making no comment on that. My man.
Yeah, that's right. He's talking about him. He's not coming.
He's making
the
hottest threat. He's making
the
hottest threat across the airways.
There.
Those are not the opinions of the war room.
All right, everybody. That's what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. Bull crazy. He's killing quarterbacks.
Yeah, man. Anyway, it's time to pass the rock. For those who don't know what pass the rock is, kill yourself. Now, listen. Pass the rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. I know a lot of y'all are income tax falling right now. But before we go broke, check out Bay Financial Services. You can visit War Room Sports, and you can get more information about Bay Financial Services. What I'm going to do is I'm going to inbound the rock to Brother Dev so you can tell everybody what's going on.
Man, I'm not mad this week. I don't have anything to vent about. That's not true. I mean, I have plenty to vent about. I just don't feel like doing it because it's a happy time. The NCAA tournament has started, and whether you're a diehard college basketball fan or you're not, this is just a good time to, you know, sit around, have an excuse to watch some basketball. I sat here today on the couch, two computer screens up, basketball on the big screen, Domino's Parmesan bread bites. That's like the legalized version of crack. Domino's cut the check. And, you know, kick back, had a nice little day, watched the games. They weren't that interesting, at least not yet. But it's still a good old time. So I'm not mad. I'm not venting. I'm telling everybody it's March Madness. Let's go. And with that, I'm going to pass the rock to my man, B. Austin, to see what he got to talk about.
I'm not mad either. I just want to reach out to the Washington Foreskins, also known as the Washington Redskins, and thank them for their participation in the NFC East and all they do to help out the other three teams. Most recently, you guys decided that you would trade up and give up four number one picks. Four number one picks. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you, Daniel Snyder. I really do. And with that, as I said, I'm not mad. Yo, who's cutting? Who's open?
I'm cutting. I'm open. I got it. All right. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, the Redskins, and they just continue to mess up deals. Good evening, War Room World. I would just like to take the time to talk about the New York Knicks, who, by all accounts, were supposed to be back after the Carmelo Anthony trade last season. Unfortunately, we know how bad the Knicks have been since the trade and how good the Denver Nuggets have been since the trade. After Knicks coach Mike Antoni, and I say that again, Mike Antoni, resigned amid a 2-8 record and an under 500 record, which placed them out of the playoffs at this point in the season, I thought about a TTR I did last year and a blog I posted basically saying the same thing about how fraudulent the Knicks would be with the combination of Carmelo, Amare, and Mike Antoni. Now, the talent of those three individuals cannot be denied on the offensive end. You know, Antoni is a great offensive coach. Melo is one of the best offensive players in the game. Amari is a great offensive power forward. But the sad thing is the big weakness in all three of those guys is their desire to coach or play defense. Now, the only highlight during the three during the time the three were together was the Linsanity saga when Amari was out and Melo was out. The Knicks went 8-2 in that stretch with Amari playing in a few games. And in my blog, I also highlighted how Carmelo would not be able to handle the pressure well after coming to New York. Anything less than a championship after the way he forced the trade is like, you know, the media is going to get him. And right now, you know, whether he wants to be traded or not, you see the media just kind of like picking at him. And, you know, I'm pretty sure homie is pretty stressed right now. But other than that, that's all I have to say about the Knicks. We'll see if Mike Woodson can do the job. I expect Phil Jackson to take over and probably get them to a top three team in the East at some point. And with that, I'll kick it out to Jimmy in the corner.
No doubt. I mean, I expect Isaiah Thomas to come back and ruin the franchise once more. At any rate, man, what's up, Warren World? This is Jimmy, also known as The Blueprint. Holla at me at JW The Blueprint. I'm going to be very brief this week. I just want to say a few words to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, you've narrowed your choice down to a couple of things, one including my beloved Denver Broncos. If you do indeed decide to come to Denver, I just want you to know that everything I've ever said about you, I retract. That's it. As a matter of fact, I can't even take a shot right now because I'm so nice that Blog Talk Radio, they want to investigate me for PEDs, so I have to walk off the court right now. I'm done.
And the crowd is confused, but they start screaming anyway. Crowd full of lemmings. All right, everybody, you know how you can get in touch with us, but we're going to tell you anyway. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab and browse around the store to buy some merchandise. Click on the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. We want to welcome our two newest writers to the team, the McConnell brothers, Leroy and Brandon. What's up, fellas? Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows, and then you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. So to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and we might just call on you. Booyah!
No doubt.
See y'all. I see y'all were talking a little bit about Melo and the Knicks and the
chat
room.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in the chat room right now talking to Dwayne. Shout out to him again. Yeah.
He's right. Melo is an easy target. Hey, but remember I called that like 2-3 weeks ago when Linsanity was going on. We all made note that they were playing probably the weakest stretch of their schedule, and we said as soon as Melo comes back, the games are going to get harder, the Knicks are going to start dropping a few, and everybody's going to blame it on Melo. And that's exactly what's happening between Melo and the coach. The coach's shortcomings are obvious, though.
Don Nelson has been trying to win a championship for 60 years without coaching defense. And he hasn't been able to do it. So at some point, when are you going to realize it? You know what I mean? It can't be done.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, let's talk a little bit about March Madness, as Dev just alluded to. But before I do, I just want to let you guys know that if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, just try an audiobook. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. If you're lazy like me, this is the way to go. Just visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can listen to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. This will definitely give you a free trial. Again, that's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Anyway, thanks to Audible for sponsoring our show. March Madness, gentlemen, is underway. The first question I have for my esteemed panel is, how does the Fab Melo situation affect Syracuse?
Man, it affected them pretty well today. They had a little scare, I mean, in the first round against UNC Asheville. But they handled business. You know, they played without the big man. We all know without Fab Melo, well, even with Fab Melo, Syracuse is on the lower rung as far as rebounding goes. And to lose your best rebounder right before the tournament, that's a big blow to a team that has aspirations to win the national championship. And they still haven't even said publicly what it is that actually made Fab Melo ineligible. I mean, I guess at that
could
be, at this point,
We can make up a story like we do, but we're going to leave it alone.
Yeah. We could speculate. I know y'all like to speculate.
What are your thoughts on the Fab Melo situation? How do you think it will affect Syracuse moving forward?
Well, when you don't learn how to read and they catch up to you, you know, the consequences and repercussions for everybody around you that figured out that you can't read. No, I think that they're a much different team without him. As you all know, Syracuse and Jim Boeheim probably stole the 23 zone from one of the greatest coaches of all time in the universe. Jimmy, you want to let the people know where he stole it from?
Are you speaking in reference to Jonathan Chaney?
Of course I am. And the key to their 23 is having that big man on the back line that kind of guards the bucket. Without him there, they suffer from, you know, penetration. That is a serious issue because you can get to the rim.
So basically, you're saying that Fab Melo has learning disabilities. He sounds like Snake off of What's Happening. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Roger?
Roger? What's up,
Reva? and when the NCAA got wind of this, they realized that this young man could not possibly be doing anything on that campus other than playing and practicing basketball.
Oh God! Let me ask Doc Bay, our resident PhD. How do you think the Fab Melo situation is going to play out with Syracuse?
Yo, I'll be honest, and as soon as I heard about it, I was like, I need to change my bracket right away. So I think I had Syracuse going to, like, maybe the Final Four. Now I got them losing to Kansas State. And there's an interesting twist to the Kansas State game is that Chris Joseph, who played the Archbishop Carroll, Rodney Magruder, who played the Archbishop Carroll, and Jamar Samuels, who played the Archbishop Carroll. Samuels and Magruder play for Kansas State, and Chris Joseph plays for Syracuse. So I have them lose going down that game. But also, I appreciate how the school stepped in, because you hear so many stories about players just not going to class and it's whatever and teachers giving them grades. I mean, you know, I give props to Syracuse for keeping them honest. And it just shows you, like, I'm not saying how dumb can Fab Melo be, but it's just kind of like at that level you have so many resources and
help. I don't give them any props, because weren't they in the news just last week because people found out that they had played a bunch of ineligible cats and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, Boeheim somehow just keeps escaping trouble. So this was something they probably felt that they had to do since their names are already in the news about some violations.
I was just getting ready to go there. I was going to say that Syracuse cannot stand anything like this to leak out or what have you.
Yeah.
Let's see what's up with my man PJ, a.k.a. Wallethead. Yo,
Big Oogie.
What do you think? What you think about the situation?
Yeah, man, I think it's going to affect. We rock stuff a lot. But I think that's going to affect them. Just to kind of like what Kill said.
What he thought of Vernon.
my thing is this. Like, there's so many resources, like, when you play big-time college sports. I just don't understand how you still are academically ineligible. Like, you really have to be like this Snake from What's Happening. Like, hey, Rod, Paul is a noun. And then the little midget dude looked like Barney Rubble's like, hey, it's the Snake. Hey, Rod. All right, enough of the what's the name. No, I think it's going to affect him, though. I mean, dude, he's a presence in the paint, and I think it's just gonna it's a hard pill to swallow, kind of, because I still went with Q's just because of the name, but I think I played myself in my brackets. So
after you watch today's game, you're like
exactly.
Really,
I mean, intro was on the roof.
But
in our chat room, Dwayne Thomas said he still doesn't think they're gonna lose to K-State.
I didn't run out and change my bracket, though, Jim, because I had them getting upset by Vanderbilt in the Sweet 16 anyway. So I'm like, you know,
okay, whatever.
I guess I had inside information, because I know Chris Joseph was rated higher than Roddy Magruder and Jamar Samuels. So I think Magruder and Samuels might, even though he was a former teammate, I think they're going to play with an extra edge. Like, Magruder had 30 in opening game, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this tournament, and the great thing about sports in general is, like, when we argue about what's going to happen, I mean, we will see. we definitely shall see.
Well, they won the day, 72-65 over UNC Asheville.
Let me see some more scores. Marquette beat BYU 88-68. And Marquette was the third seed, playing BYU the 14th seed. Wisconsin, who was the fourth seed, playing 13th seed Montana, won 73-49. Louisville, number four seed, playing Davidson, the 13th seed, was 69-62. They win. So, you know, most of the favorites here. Kansas State beat Southern Miss 70-64. Murray State beat Colorado State, and Murray State the sixth seed. Colorado State the 11th. They beat 50-41. And there's a couple games currently going on, but it looks like all the favorites are winning thus far.
The only upset that I lost so far today was Colorado State. I picked them over Murray State, and that was stupid. Murray had a little lamb. That's Fab Mello.
let me ask you guys a question. When you see a tournament and the favorites win, does that make you enjoy the tournament more or less? Because I hear people argue on both sides, and they say that it means that the committee did a good job, basically, in their seeding. But, you know, a lot of people just like the upset. How do you feel in terms of as a viewer?
I just root for the underdog anyway.
Okay.
Yo, that's funny. Because you know what, Jim? That's how every year – in the first round, like, I do root for upsets to happen and, you know, buzzer beaters just because that's the excitement of the tournament. But then when those upsets do happen and these mid-majors are in the later rounds, like the final eight, the final four, and, you know, and they get blown out the water, then I'm upset because I want to see a better team in the final four.
You want to see that quality, of basketball.
Yeah, I try to have it both ways, like. The magic
runs all guys like the time. Then guys like Shelvin Mack get drafted too high.
Some people want to see the best play the best. You know what I'm saying? And then some people, you know, like the upset. I'm just looking for a day when a 16 knocks off a one. Yeah, that's all I want to see.
Some people thought it was going to happen today. Didn't happen.
Yeah, but with that being said, so Dev, which side do you follow? You said you're somewhere in the middle. You like both.
Yeah, I be trying to have it both ways, man. I like the early upsets, but then I get upset later on in the tournament.
How about you, PJ? You know, which one would you rather see?
You
get
smacked
off. Upset, or you want to see the best play the best?
I actually like to see. I actually like to put my brackets aside, so I'll do my brackets and try not to be too competitive with them. Because I actually like to see like the upsets. Like I do root for the Cinderella, I like to see that. But like Brad said, it has an adverse effect with like. Shelvin Mack getting drafted too high, knowing he should be overseas.
Kill, how about you, Kill? What do you think? You like the upset or you like the best play and the best?
I like the upsets because, I mean, now you get to see people that we would never heard of, and then, you know, for the rest of their life, they get to have their one shining moment. So I like
Shaka. Smart.
There you go.
You just want to hear that. You just want to hear that song, that one shining moment song, huh?
Yeah.
Anybody want to give us their final four or final two or national champion?
I'll go first. My final four is Kentucky playing Missouri. on the left side of the bracket, and my sleeper, Vanderbilt, playing Kansas on the right side of the bracket. Kansas and Kentucky in the championship game, and Kentucky winning one. Calipari finally pulling one out. But knowing because it's Calipari, it's not going to happen. He's going to choke.
He's gonna have visions of John Chaney in that. He's gonna have visions of John Chaney in that press conference. He's gonna come back. He's gonna ask with an SH at the end of it. Yo, mine is very chalky.
I'll go next.
Okay,
I wanna see Temple, Villanova, St. John's, and Drexel.
You mean St. Joe's?
You mean St. Joe's?
You
can go down to U City. You can drive down to U City to see that.
You go to the Palestra.
The old Civic Center. What y'all know about the old Civic Center? He's had an all-public game in that joint.
I'm screening.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say. I filled my joints out like a novice, man. My bracket looks very chalky. I got on the left side of the bracket, I got the five NBA players, Kentucky, and they are playing, Kentucky is playing Michigan State. And then I got on the right. Yo, this bracket is diesel. I'm looking at it like, oh, I'm on the wrong level. But then I got Kentucky playing Michigan State. And then Kentucky's going to win and represent the left side of the bracket. And then on the right side, I got Syracuse tripping against North Kakalaki. And I got North Kakalaki winning. So in the final is the battle of the different shades of blue. Final is the Shades of Blue final. Kentucky against North Carolina.
Okay. Austin, do you really want to get your pick or you don't?
That was my opinion. That was my bracket.
Come on, man. That's.
Oh, man, you got the same, John?
Austin ain't filling
no
bracket.
Oh, no, you got the Philly, the city.
Austin is saying he ain't filling one out.
Austin don't even know who in the tournament.
For sake of time, let's put it like this. I got North Carolina winning the whole thing, and I have them beating Michigan State. National champion?
I got Missouri beating North Carolina.
North Carolina. Damn, Missouri. You're the first person I've talked to that picks Missouri.
Yeah, they've been balling. And I got Kentucky and Florida State losing to, in the Final Four as well. Kentucky and Florida
Most
State.
Most people I know can't even spell Missouri, let alone they picked
I don't even know where Missouri is.
Yeah, how about that? Anyway, man, so that's what's pretty much happening in our March Madness. Dev, do you want to welcome our guest?
Yes, I do. All right, everybody, our special guest is on the line. She is a comedian from Somerset, New Jersey, I believe, but it seems like all over the Internet they give her props for being from D.C. So, when we get on the line, we'll see if she accepts that or not. And, of course, she's an HU grad, HU in the house. You've probably seen her on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, Comedy Central's Live at Gotham, and she was also a semifinalist on season 6 of NBC's Last Comic Standing. So we're going to welcome into the war room for the very first time, Miss Erin Jackson. Erin, you there?
Hello, I'm here.
How are you?
Hello, fellas.
Welcome.
Hey.
How you doing, Erin?
Hey,
I'm
Erin.
I'm good.
Welcome.
Since you're here, we want to laugh.
Record, let's clear it up. I am Jersey all day. I rep Jersey. I'm not going to
Okay.
Yeah, I see, because, they just claimed you on the, They're talking
That's
about
where
the
my
long
comedy
lineage
life
of,
started.
Yeah, they're talking about the long lineage of D.C. comedians, and they just threw your name right on up in there.
Well, I'm not mad about that company, but...
Yeah, it was some good names. It was some good names, I can't front. All right, so let's get right into it.
Okay.
Basically, what we want to know, we want to talk about some comedy for a minute. And it's like we said to you when we spoke to you the other day, a lot of people, everybody here in the war room, we've been kind of like clowns all of our lives. But, mm-hmm. To do what you do, it behooves me. So we kind of want to know what inspired you to want to actually go into comedy as a career.
You know what? It's crazy. I was never a clown. Like, so many people think that, or they think that you know, all comics are, you know, like you said, class clowns, silly people, goofy. And I'm not that. In my little life, like most people I know, we don't really know each other at Howard stuff, but like most people I know, they're like, you never said anything funny to me. Like, how did you get to be a comedian? And I think I just always had the kind of humor where you had to know me or be sitting close to me and hear whatever sarcastic thing I said under my breath, but I was never an attention getter clown kind of person. So it's weird for a lot of people that know me.
I guess you were just funny when you were talking about real stuff that was going on right there.
Right. I was never, yeah, it was always just for the people within earshot, I think. I think that's kind of like my comedy is now. It's basically sarcastic. It's basically everyday stuff that happens to me and just my cynical take on it. So, I mean, that's how I've been living my life. So in terms of inspiration, I mean, my family, I have a big family, and they are all in South Jersey. All my family's from the Camden area. Got 13 aunts and uncles and 40 first cousins,
Woo!
And they give me a lot of material.
Wow.
Yes.
Damn.
People in my family like each other.
You deserve an ovation. A lot of people don't make it out of Camden.
Yo, if you just been from Camden.
Yes. Well, I told you they're all still there.
Whoa. Aaron, this is Jimmy. I have another question for you.
Go ahead.
My question for you is this. Who were your favorite comedians when you were growing up? And also, who are your favorite present-day comedians? Who do you like in terms of other comics?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, I love a ton of comics. And I love a lot of comics whose styles are nothing like mine as well. I just like funny. So, growing up, I mean, I was a Def Jam fan like everybody else, so I loved all those guys that you would see on there. I think my favorite comic, though, of all time, I saw him for the first time. It's really cliche, but I saw him for the first time when I was, I think, in the seventh grade. I saw him in New Brunswick at the State Theater, and that was Bill Cosby. I've seen him maybe five times total, and I just love what he does because he's just a master at it. But in terms of, contemporaries, I mean, you know, I love Chappelle, I love Rock, Seinfeld, I love Whoopi Goldberg, Ellen DeGeneres, and there's a ton of guys that aren't like household names that I just know from working with that I love.
Oh, put us down with him.
Ted Alexandro, he's a guy out of New York. I mean, he's definitely known, but in terms of comedy people, but everybody doesn't know who he is, and they should. He's hilarious.
No doubt.
Alabama.
So, Xander, of course, Louis C.K., all those guys people know. But I'm just a fan of funny people, whoever they are, under the radar.
Aaron, this is B. Austin, so you definitely are a fan of mine because I'm a funny dude.
Hey.
I'm a funny, funny dude. Now, it's one thing to be funny, but it's a whole other thing to kind of be able to get up on stage in front of people and make people laugh. I mean, we saw Bernie Mac. I ain't scared of you, motherfucker. I ain't scared.
Right.
It has to be nerve-wracking. Can you remember the first time on stage and how it went and how you transitioned from then, you think?
Oh, man. My first time doing comedy, I can't even say it was on stage because it was a sushi bar in D.C. And I was
She's
just staring
at the
sushi chef. Yes, the guy was cutting sushi, and they have just a little deli counter. And then on the side of the deli counter where they would cut the sushi, they put a microphone on T Street in DuPont, D.C., and that is the first time I ever did comedy. And
was this an open mic, or this was a gig?
Yeah, it was an open mic. It was an open mic, because, of course, you're not going to get nobody to pay you to go to a club when you first got started. And, I did it, and I was terrible, but I didn't know it. I had fun. I watched the tape back. I still have the tape, and it's just, oh, my goodness. It's painful.
Okay.
But
you thought you were terrible, or nobody laughed, or did they throw sushi at you?
Well, I know now that I was terrible, but people laughed.
Okay.
I don't know what they were laughing at, but they, you know, they gave me enough to where I came back again next week, you know? So, yeah, it started out as a hobby, something I wanted to do. I had a job I hated, and I was looking for something fun to do after work, and I tried it, and it stuck. That's it.
Yeah,
I guess that's not an exciting story, huh?
No,
it's
actually
is what it is.
Like sushi? I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Yeah. Aaron, this is Paul. I guess to your point, when you said you weren't a class clown, I kind of was back in high school, and I guess that's why I'm not a comedian. Because I couldn't imagine getting on stage and trying to make anybody laugh. But
we done all shot our clip.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. I don't got nothing
left. You got nothing left.
Yeah. I got nothing. But in regard to your comedy, your style has been described as controversial humor. Now, you said that your family is somewhat inspires you, but, like, what motivates you to come up with your material? Is it strictly, like your family experiences, or is it, like, do you, like, you know, reflect on things, or, like, what motivates you, and, like, how do you come up with that, with your material? Not to get all in, and I don't want you to put it all out there and somebody try to, steal
it's
it from
fine.
You.
That's
or something. Right. Okay.
No. I mean, did you say my style is controversial?
Controversial humor. It's been described.
Okay. people in my life, everybody's subject to going into act. You know what I mean? And that's just the danger of knowing a comedian. So I think, you know, most of the things are things that I think everybody has experiences with. People in their family that do dumb things or say dumb things, or friends, or things you see on TV. I just kind of look at things and my whole, like, if I had to sum my act up in real one word, it would be like, really, like, that's it. Like, I look at everything like that with a cynical eye, like, for real, are you serious? I'm going to take that and I'm going to put it on the stage and make everybody know why that's ridiculous. So that's kind of
right.
What it is. I mean,
so you
everything
basically
is
taking people and you taking people and playing them out.
Well, now.
No, she's taking people that are playing themselves out. Basically.
You know what? That's a better way to describe it. Like that guy who took me out on the date and then didn't pay and then peed in front of me. He deserves to be in the act.
Whoa!
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
Whoa! Let's hear this story.
See, I saw Aaron's act a couple like last week, so I know exactly what she's talking about.
Yes, that came to my show. I met this guy. We go out to eat. And, it was a terrible date. Worst person I ever met in my entire life. Like, just the worst person. So it's bad conversation.
Damn.
So when the check finally comes, he doesn't even look at it. I don't know if y'all ever done that move. I hope not. So he doesn't even acknowledge it. So we do the stare-off thing. So I'm like, so basically, like, you're really not going to pay that bill? So then I pay for my half of the bill because I'm like, I got to get out of here. Then he asked me to help pay for his half. He was like, he had the money, but he said, I don't want to break my last 20. You know how it is. Once you break it, it's gone. That's what he said.
Where did you meet this gentleman?
Well, where I met him. Why are we bringing up old shit? Okay, can I say that?
Not really, but you.
I'm sorry. well, when I met him, let's just say I met him on a website called I met him on eHarmony, and it.
Black Planet.
Wait,
I didn't even
know Black
Planet was around. No, I didn't meet him. If I met him on Black Planet, I would be less surprised. So we left the restaurant. Long story short, we're walking back to his car, and he stops and pees in front of me in the alley.
This boy was definitely from Camden.
No, well, my
Baltimore.
Parents taught me early, never date a guy from Camden because he's probably related to you. So I don't do that. Yes. So yeah, those are the kinds of people where, you know, if you do something like that, you're in the act. Sorry.
Okay.
So,
hey, Aaron, this is
probably by just saying really, then it seems like you'll never run out of material because this world is just full of idiots that make you say really.
I think that's true, though. You know what I mean? In everything. I mean, every day there's something. You know, you can write down and you can take it and you can build. And it doesn't come in the act right away, but you're right. I mean, there's never going to be a shortage of things for comedians to talk about. That's the beauty of it, you know?
Okay. Aaron, this is Akil on the line. Appreciate to have you on the show. And it's interesting. I actually graduated from Camden High my senior year to play basketball in 95. And, but also went
That's
to
only
Central
because
City.
he visited for a year.
but I'm originally from Philly. But, Camden, it could be a rough place. I played for the Centerville Timbers, too, if you know about those, a football team. But anyway, what are your future aspirations in comedy?
Well, I would love to continue doing stand-up as long as I can, but I want to write. I want to do more writing for TV, hopefully. Some sitcom stuff I'm working on and maybe even working for a show that's already on the air. Those are the kinds of things you do. So in addition to just writing jokes, you're always writing and submitting script ideas and writing and submitting, you know, to write for Chelsea Lately and whoever needs writers. That's something that we do as well. Cause, you know, a lot of people think is we work 1 hour a day or, you know, do one show and then that's it. But there's, you know, there's work all day to be able to get that 1 hour worth of work. So, yeah, I want to write. And I want to be able to have, at some point, a job in comedy that doesn't require me being on the road all the time. You know, I could sit in the office and write a script, have a
what about movies?
Or something like that, maybe one day.
What about movies?
What about movies? I mean, I want it all, absolutely.
Okay.
And, I would love to do movies. I think it's all cyclical. You know, you do a movie, then more people want to pay for you to come to their comedy club, pay to see you. So it all works, you know, together.
All right. I'm just airing that out there because if you become, you know, big in the movies where,
yes,
you know, you're making some decisions and stuff like that, if you ever have a movie where you need some sports talk guys for any reason, you know.
Any reason.
We can act.
There you go.
Okay. I mean, we can sit here and we can recite the whole movie, the whole script to Menace to Society if you want, but that might take a while.
I don't know if there would be a place for that in my school, but you never know. You never know.
Hey, Aaron, another thing real quick. So you're telling me that all these people we see with these talk shows, they're not even a quarter of as funny as we expect them to be. Like comedians are just writing all their material.
No. I'm not saying that. I mean, a lot of the people that have sitcoms are comedians. I mean, when you think about it, there are some people who I didn't even realize until I started comedy how many people on TV were stand-up. Like, that was their background. So, you know, but you can't write, you know, the same thing as you can be on TV every night, but if you're, you know, Letterman, you can't write all your jokes every night. That's a lot of jokes to write. So you need other people,
you
know, to kind of help you out with that. But yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to see a Kevin James show in D.C. on April 4th. I didn't know he was a stand-up.
Yeah, I mean, that's how all those guys get their sitcoms. Yeah.
For what they're charging.
Kevin James is funny.
All right.
Kevin James is funny.
I'm just saying that because he's your boy now.
No, I don't know him. If I knew Kevin James, I'd be trying to come up.
All right, well, let's get into some sports real quick because I heard you say,
okay.
I heard you say in your act that you love sports. So what's your favorite sport, first of all? That's what we want to know.
Football, for sure. NFL football, favorite.
And why? Is there a reason why it's your favorite sport, or is just because it's everybody's favorite sport?
No. See, I used to love basketball. I mean, I always follow football, but I used to be a bigger basketball fan. But I've been doing comedy for about 9 years now, and football, number one of the easiest things, it's the easiest for me to keep up with because I'm always on the road, I'm working at night, on the weekends, and it happens mostly on one day, that I'm not working. So that works. I mean, I just love football. So, I mean, that's the one I can, like, I still watch basketball, but I can't watch all the games.
All right, well, speaking of football, we're here, you're an Eagles fan. And my question is,
I am.
How's that worked out for you?
Well, let me say, it gives me a lot of material. It makes me have a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of hatred to spew. I mean, it's working out for me like it's working out for any Eagles fan. I mean, come on. I know some of y'all are Eagles fans in there. That's what it's like.
They make our show. When the Eagles are playing, we get good shows because, you know.
Yeah, because they always fall short of the goal. But they always do it in spectacular fashion. There's always
spectacular fashion.
You always got somebody on the team saying something stupid.
Yeah, they are dramatic losers. I love it.
Like your man Vince Young last year with the whole Dream Team. You're the second string quarterback. You're not even good, and you're talking about Dream Team. Now you put the target on the team's back. And you
don't get
not only that,
started,
but in the press. Not only that, in the press conference, I think he went third person on him.
Yeah, I think he did.
I had to Google Vince Young's middle name so I could call him all the way out whenever I watch football. Whenever he does something, if they think about putting him in the game, I'm like, Vincent Paul Young, do not throw an interception. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
His middle name is Paul?
And then he throws like three in a row.
Yeah. He closes
Vince
his eyes when he throws.
He walked around in the club with grown men with his shirt off, so.
This is B. I think that I have a problem with the African-American quarterback in the NFL, and I think that you'll have a great time with material for that. You can talk about Jamarcus Russell. You could talk about Donovan McCoward. You've got even Mike Vick.
If you haven't noticed, he is not a Donovan fan. He finds a way in every single show we've done. This is our, 84th show? He finds a way to slander Donovan McNabb in every single show, whether he's in our lineup, our rundown, or not.
Well, I mean, he's kind of easy. I was a Donovan fan, but now I just want him to go away. It's sad.
Mr. Passive Aggressive himself.
Yes.
I think the boy has a very, very mild form of syndrome.
He's so classy. He's such a nice guy. No, I know what he is. But yes, I was a fan of his. I always was a supporter of his. So he was gone, and then he wasn't evil no more, and it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. So Aaron,
so you were more just supporting. You were support team. You were down. You were down with the team.
Towards the end, I mean, I'm still I'm still like a Doc fan. Like I will watch him play still.
Man.
I'm a fan of his. I was a fan of Donovan as long as he was our quarterback. But
so even though football is your favorite sport, Aaron, do you get into like all this March Madness college basketball stuff? Like, do you fill out brackets and stuff like that? Or
no,
do you not get into it that much?
I deal with college basketball for sure. I don't know. I have this thing about rooting for my team, and I went to an HBCU, so that's impossible. Like root for – you know what I mean? Like, one of my friends was talking about that on Facebook the other day. It's kind of like, you know, I'm just like, all right, this is not for me because I can't root for – I can't root for anybody other than Howard, and I can't root for Howard.
I totally get that. Like, a lot
Howard
of
hasn't been to the tournament since, like, 1992. That's crazy.
If you talk about Howard, I went to Lincoln. That's a lot worse. If I want to root for somebody, I need to go to an adult site and never mind.
Hey, Aaron, is it just the Eagles, though, or do you root for all the Philly teams?
No, I don't. My family, I grew up more in Central Jersey. All my family's still in South Jersey, but my family moved further north. So
okay.
I had no choice with the Eagles. That was just family. But my father, my dad roots for all the Philly teams. He's a Sixers fan. But I grew up in, like, Central North Jersey, so I rooted for the Knicks because they were the only team that was worth watching back then. And then they started coming in.
The Knicks are back from nothing.
No, they're not. Well, they were back. Right. They were back, and then they're going again. But it was, you know. You never know. So, yeah.
Yeah, get the Philly treatment real quick. We had to boo you real quick. You root for the Knicks.
Oh, is that what that was? Sorry.
All right, everybody. I don't know if you've seen the website, but Aaron sells a T-shirt at her shows and online that reads, quote, "I hope you don't make it to the future." Now, I've spoken to you, and I've spoken to you, and I've heard you talk about this in your act, but can you tell our audience your inspiration behind that phrase and where they can get a T-shirt?
Sure, I can tell you one of them. Obviously, I can't tell you the second since I have to wash my mouth. So basically, it's this. Like, you hear people say all the time, like, people will say, our kids are our future. You got to invest in the youth because they're our future. And I know, like, that's supposed to inspire me and give me hope for the future, but I keep running into children that I hope don't make it. And so they're the inspiration for my children. Like, every kid not cut out for the future is just the point. It's not me being a true thing. Like, it came about. I was at a CVS drugstore, and I'm standing in line, y'all, and there's a young girl, like a teenager, behind the register. The total of the stuff that I bought came to $3.85. I gave this girl $4, y'all. She rang me up, looked in the drawer, and with a straight face said to me, sorry, but we ain't got no dime. And that was all she said. Like, she called for the next person, like, I'm going to leave without my change because dimes is the only way you could get to 15. Like, she just, it was one of those things where I was like, wow, you're not even going to try to solve this. And so I
should have handed her a T-shirt.
Right. I was like, I understand you ain't got no dimes, but are there nickels and pennies in your drawer? Without missing a beat, she looked down and said, yeah, why?
She said, wow.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. So that's really, like, exactly,
she's our
really.
She's our future.
Yeah. I kind of don't want to go.
And I feel you, when you walk around every day and you see the boys with their pants, like, right above their kneecap.
On the ground.
Yeah, and you know, really, really tight clothing, like wearing women's clothing, and this is our future. So I understand the shirt. Because actually, Erin gave one to my wife, and she was so excited, she ran out and wore the joint the next day when she went to Target, because every time we go to, like, Walmart and Target, we see people that we don't want to make to the future, so she wore that joint right away.
To kids. It's not just about kids. I mean, that's where the shirt came about. But, I mean, that dude that peed and didn't pay for the date, I don't want him to make it either. And he's a grown-up.
Dude, it's crazy.
Speaking of that,
I always say that about those boys.
Now.
All right, but before we get you out of here, I mean, let everyone know where they can find you on the Internet, you know, how they can get in touch with you.
Sure.
Not personally, but, you know, on the Internet, Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, and where they can see you perform, if you got any shows.
If you want to get in touch with me personally, they can do that. I mean, we go on a date. If you don't pee on a date, you are already the best day I've had in years. So,
and if you're ready to break that 20.
What if you had a lot to drink? You can't go on dates where people can drink. You got to go drive.
He can't have a lot to drink, especially if he's not going to break his last 20 to pay for it.
Exactly. He said, this always happens when I drink rum. That was his excuse. He's if anybody out there, if you're looking on the Internet, you can find me at erinjackson.net, erinjackson.net. I'm on Twitter at EJTheComic. And if you go to my website, you can find links to my Facebook and my Twitter and all that stuff, my YouTube links. I'm working on a video right now that I'm going to upload tonight. I do a travel video blog about the places I go to work. So that'll be up. So check me out, folks.
All righty.
Absolutely.
We want to thank you for joining us tonight. We had a ball, and we would love for you to come back sometime in the near future. Matter of fact, whenever you got something, you got a show coming up that you want to promote, just let us know. And we'll blast it out to our millions and millions of fans.
Fantastic.
You know, all right, so thanks for joining us. And
thanks,
we appreciate
guys.
It. Erin Jackson.
Take care.
All right, Erin.
Bye.
Yo, how dudes just, like, walking in the alley, like, hold up for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when you hear stories like that, man, just
take a leak after
that
a date.
People just outrageous thing. Like, people have, like, the guts to do things that I wouldn't even think of doing.
Yeah,
homie, try whip it out on her. Pause.
He's wired.
What a
word. He's wired.
Please get down with the team.
I showed his face to
her.
Yeah, real quick, just check out our website at warroomsports.com. If you want to call in and speak to us about any of tonight's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-9663. 0012. Just press 1 when prompted, and we will try to get you on the line and answer your question or hear your opinion. All right.
Yo, man, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm still sitting here laughing. But anyway, let's start getting to the NBA, bro. Stop, y'all. Cut it out, man. Real quick, before we get into the NBA, let me tell you that another one of our sponsors is Stitcher. You can now hear the War Room on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, your BlackBerry, or your Palm phone. And as I always say, if you have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, go to the nearest roof and jump off. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Or you can go to Stitcher.com/The War Room and get the app right there. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Let's get into some hoops, y'all. First thing we want to talk about is the NBA Players of the Week. Those players are Ersan Ilyasova and Monte Ellis. That's right. The first person is Ersan Ilyasova. How did he ever become a player of the week?
Dude, y'all ever think that Ilyasova would be the player of the week?
Never.
Yo, all right. Well, this is how he did it. He led the Bucks to a 3-1 week, including wins over our 76ers and the Knicks, who are back. He averaged 25 points a game while shooting 64% from the field, 90% from the line, 67% from the three-point line, to go along with 11 rebounds and 1.5 assists. Yo, Ilyasova had game for a week. He had game for one week.
He is nice. He reminds me of a non-passing. Tony Kukoc or Detlef Schrempf.
Yeah, my man had one good week, and we compared him to Tony Kukoc and Detlef Schrempf.
What changed in his life for that week? I wonder what changed in his life for that week, real quick.
Yo, he probably sold his soul.
He got
to
more jobs on the team. More jobs on the team.
He sold his soul real quick.
All right, Monte, the Uzi clip. Man, they didn't even break it. Oh, he had a 3-1 week. He averaged 20.5 points, which is low for Monte. How he went off of that? 7.5 assists. That's why he got Player of the Week and 2 steals.
Yeah.
They were rewarding him. They were rewarding him subliminally, trying to let him know, listen, stop shooting, man.
He shot 67% from the 3-point line too. You know, Monte doesn't take a lot of threes. He took 12 threes all week and made 8 of them. He's a mid-range killer. He's usually not out there.
Cats think I'm joking, but Monte is seriously the biggest gun in the entire league.
No, I don't.
But listen, look what winning player of the week gets you. It gets you traded. Now these two guys are on the same team. He plays for the Bucks with Ilyasova, so now he's going
to
be taking shots from
Ilyasova. Who's the bigger clip than Monte?
Yo, no one, yo. Monte Ellis doesn't. Yo, he doesn't do anything but shoot. He doesn't do anything else in the basketball. He might dribble a little bit. He don't pass. He doesn't play a lick of defense.
But Monte's got
a hired gun.
That, like, he takes shots that you're like, yo, what are you doing? Then he makes some of them crazy shots.
Yeah, if you take a lot of them, you're going to make some of them.
But you see, like what Austin said, like he doesn't pass the ball at all. So you see once he has a week where he averages 7.5 assists, he gets player of the week. Because they're not used to seeing that. Like,
listen, look.
He only averaged 20 points, so he could do that.
The reason, I'm gonna put it this way: the reason that Steph Curry and him haven't gone at it and had a rumble is because Steph has a good fatherly influence. Because if I was Steph, yo, he gotta be boiling inside because dude don't get the ball back. He's a black hole.
Steph is always hurt, so he can't get mad at anybody.
Yo, in our chat room, Naren said that he's a shorter version of Melo because the Melo's a jack too.
he works.
Just bringing that to the table. But listen though, like you Dev said, now he's traded, which is hilarious because now he's playing in the backcourt with another jack.
Jack in the box.
How's this gonna work?
Jack in the box.
They might end up really coming to blows.
Roy from the Broad Street Line, he was on Twitter when the trade went down. He said he heard that the Bucks will petition the league to see if they can play with two basketballs on offense.
No, but you know what? Like, and the problem was in Golden State that they had a small backcourt, which was a defensive liability. Like, what's going to be the difference in Golden State? Really, what's going to be the difference anywhere Monte goes unless the point guard is like 6'7"?
Monte doesn't play D, and Brandon Jennings is smaller than my wife, so he can't play D.
Yeah, man. Did you guys hear about T.J. Ford? He retired.
Man.
Yeah. They're saying that he took an indefinite leave.
Nah, they saying he retired. Well, the lady, I saw that today. You know, if you Google him now, it said that the dude is retired. He keep having these neck injuries and spinal injuries, but you know, remember he had two neck injuries before, and the latest one, like, he was on the ground and a defender by mistake stepped on his neck. Doesn't it seem like when you hurt something, like,
hey, it's double consulting.
Yeah, like when you hurt something, people always by mistake, you know, he wasn't trying to hurt him, but by mistake people always seem to hit the spot that you injured.
I don't know, Dev. I don't know. I accidentally stepped on your neck. My bad.
Yo, he fell on the ground, dude. Like, tripped backwards over him or something like that. But
that sounds like something Evan Turner would do. Accidentally.
My bad. I didn't mean to step on your neck.
I didn't see you right there.
I know we're definitely not talking about this, but Iran is in our chat room going honey baked ham on Melo, calling him the most overrated superstar in the league, and we're going to get into that right now. Before we do, let's talk
Iran
about
must be a Dan
Tony Iran always trying to change our topics.
Iran must be mad he didn't grow them extra 4 inches so he'd be Melo's height or something.
Here's the thing.
I was saying, before we talk about Antoni and the Knicks, just some quick thoughts on Rubio tearing his ACL.
Oh, badness, man. Sadness, in this little bit of time that he's had in the NBA, I've turned into a Rubio stan. And I probably watched Timberwolves games, you know, second most to me watching Sixers games. And I don't want to watch the Wolves no more. I know they still got Kevin Love and they still got a young, exciting team. But without Rubio, man, I don't want to watch the Wolves.
Rubio!
Yo, he was trying to guard Kobe at the time, and their knees banged, and Kobe's knee was just his knee was just a little bigger than Rubio's.
Kobe's knee was Nazi'd, and his was denazified.
But the way it happened, it didn't seem like it could have been an ACL injury. It just bumped knees. Like, you didn't see his leg go backwards or anything like that. It was weird.
And he just made the cover of Slam too. He got the Slam jinx. Him and Love just made the cover of Slam this month.
Damn.
Yeah, Rubio definitely brought some excitement to that franchise and to the NBA just in general. Like, his style of play is exciting, man. So
his vision,
I was sad to see that.
His vision is reminiscent of Jay Kidd back in the day.
Y'all think they can hold on to that eighth spot without him?
Nope.
I mean, you got Ridnour back there. Ridnour keeps
the
start spot.
Luke.
So what?
What, though? You know what? This might give J.J. Barea more time. J.J. Barea might get more run now, so maybe, I don't know.
So
maybe
what?
He'll make up.
I mean, I'm rooting
Brad
for them to
faith
get
in
to the playoffs so they can get slaughtered by OKC. But without Rubio,
now,
I won't be
watching.
Let's
talk about this. Let's talk about the New York Knicks. 3 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, well, the Knicks franchise is known to be they're known to be knucking butt. They boarded Mike D'Antoni, who doesn't coach a lick of defense, but now he has air quotes resigned. Some say he's resigned. You know, you hear all kinds of talk about he was really fired, and yada, yada, yada. But it all stems from his relationship with one Carmelo Anthony, who Naran is still going in on in our chat room. So what do you guys think about this whole melodrama? I hate saying that.
It's definitely air quote.
There is no melodrama, man. Melo is dead ball, and Antoni is a failure as a coach, and he had to go. I mean, there's really no.
Failure.
Are you calling the man Antoni? Are we just going to leave the D off his name? Or am I missing that? Are y'all calling the man
Antoni?
We're loving students of the game. PJ, we can't put a D on that dude's name, man. We know better.
Kill Toad is not.
Got to drop it off.
Yeah.
I got you. I just want to make sure I wasn't hearing something wrong. I got you.
So Antony.
It's like you gotta call Rayon. You gotta call him Rayon Rondo. But is Jay getting better?
I mean, I agree with Akil. You know what he always said. I never thought Antony was gonna win with his particular system. However, in New York, they never really gave him a chance to succeed. You know, he runs a pick-and-roll style offense. He comes to New York, and they give him a bunch of Babbage point guards until he finds a little something.
They gave him Tony Douglas.
Yeah, they give him, until he found Jeremy Lin and Baron Davis finally got off the injured list.
Let me ask you guys a question.
They give him players that don't play defense, so I guess that's lending itself to his style. But if your coach isn't going to coach defense, then you might want to get him some defensive-minded players so they can take that pride and do it themselves.
They did.
So like,
they got him playing Chandler, Dev. They got him playing Chandler.
They got Chandler. They got Shumpert.
Listen, man, that's irrelevant, man. Here's my thing.
Yo,
Felton
was balling. Felton was balling for them last year. Felton was balling. And if they would have kept that squad, they could have been like a 5th or 6th seed if they didn't even make that trade and kept Amari.
Yeah. Or if they would have just waited and let Melo come as a free agent and not decimate the team to get him.
Listen, man, GM has a lot to do with this whole situation, man. It's like this. If you're going to make lasagna, right, you need all the right ingredients. Don't come. What I mean by that is this dude is not putting people that fit the system in order to win. I don't care who you have as a coach. You need certain type players. I mean, it's sort of like the Lakers. The Lakers were built to play a certain offense, and now dude comes in and wants to run a different offense, but he doesn't have the pieces to do that.
Mike Brown put in an offense for them.
Yeah, no.
I get Jimmy's point because
like if they bring in Phil Jackson right now, like everybody wants to happen, but you know they get Phil Jackson this fast breaking young squad. Like that's not what he's trying to coach. So you know,
he needs the right players in the right system.
Give Antony a little bit of benefit of doubt.
We all said at the time, like this is not a good fit. Melo.
Yeah.
You can say what you want about him being a great player. He is a superstar. He's an all-star. You know, but he's a black hole as well. He slows the offense down. He gets the ball and runs ISO all day long. And, you know, if you see when he wasn't there, the offense ran a lot smoother. Now, I'm not one of them guys that say, hey, you got to get rid of Melo. I don't believe that. But what I'm saying is put the right pieces around him that run the system that complements his game.
The thing about Melo, though, is he's married to Lala, and she got some tiggle. I mean, but anyway, what I was going to say about Melo was, like, just not the fit for this. Like, his style of play just does not fit this squad. And it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward from here because they got the ball that – what's the guy's name that used to coach the Hawks? He's the –
ball with no eyebrows. Woodson.
Yeah, Steve Woodson. Harvey looking
–
Yeah. Anyway, it'll be interesting. Now, it's funny to hear people now after that blowout yesterday. It's like, oh, they got stand their 40-point blowout yesterday. But a lot of times that does happen after like coach
every
leaves time. Or something. Or something dramatic. Like, oh, that's all they needed. It was D'Antoni.
And everybody wanted to see.
But I think it's
Portland got their own. Portland got their own set of problems because they not listening to my man Nate. They're in mutiny mode.
Well, Nate got fired.
They didn't get no more. Portland is making all kinds of moves.
So they damn sure ain't listening to Nate now. Because Nate's standing outside the gate. Nate's standing outside the gate trying to give plays.
They got rid of Old Face. They just cut Old Face too.
Old Face Andre.
Yeah, and
they traded Camby,
and now they got Hasim is some, you know what.
Portland is basically starting from scratch at this point.
That's the team that we were, like, picking last season to go to, like, the conference finals and stuff, and now they
I feel bad for Lamar.
Now they going to the draft with a front row seat.
Austin was still asking last week if Portland was going to be able to beat OKC.
I think the last group.
I think the last few years, I think Nate McMillan, I mean, got the most out of his squad. Cats was getting hurt left and right. He loses Odin every year. He lost, Brandon Roy for, like, a lot of the year. He had Miller putting up 52 points one year because they were so depleted. Then he tore his – they had so little players. Remember, he tore his Achilles in practice because he had to run with them. Yeah.
He was out there.
You know, a lot of coaches get recycled, and you don't understand why. But I could fully see Nate McMillan getting another job, and I think he really deserves it.
But you know what? No matter how good you are as a coach, sometimes it's best to just, like, it could be for his own good to let him go. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, teams
get messages and get through to the players.
You don't go to the Lakers. You don't go to the Lakers.
Yo, I pray for that, yo. I want to rumble Mike. Never mind. Let's leave that alone. Let's jump into this whole Dwight Howard saga. Dwight Howard switched his mind up until the day until he signed the actual album. What you call him?
Yo. Dweisha. I don't call him. He doesn't have a male name. His name is Dweisha.
Yo, the last 48 hours of his life has been the most indecisive thing that I've ever seen. Remember, like, 2 days ago, they were saying that the Magic had, told Dwight that he could have final say on the fate of the head coach and the GM if he decided to stay with the Magic, through next year.
That's wild.
The next day, you hear that, you hear rumblings that, he might want to stay, but he didn't want to sign the waiver. Now, today, he finally signed the waiver, so that was his opt-out waiver, so he's not going to opt out of his contract next year. I was saying when he did that, they should have just traded his ass anyway before the deadline just to play him out, but...
No, I said they should have treated him last night in the halftime, and they should have sent him to the Bobcats.
Twitch Uni.
Yo, he'd probably rather go to Bradesford. Yo, situations like this, like the Melo thing and the Howard thing, like, they don't normally turn out well, because what happens, whatever team he goes to, it's like, okay, you're here now, and this is what you wanted, championship or shut up. So if they don't win, then you build up so much pressure as opposed to just riding it out and just making your decision. So kind of like what the Heat did last year.
Do you think he got nervous and that's why he decided to stay at least for the next year, because he realized all the pressure he built up on himself?
I think so. Because if he doesn't win, like, it's almost like he probably won't win a chip. Like, no matter where he goes, this just probably may or may not happen, but I mean, probably won't happen, but he's going to have to live with that, saying, okay, this, you put yourself in a position and you didn't come through. Kind of like the Heat on a small scale, like, they were supposed to win last year, but they didn't. Now they're supposed to win this year. They're going to be supposed to win every year. And now Howard's supposed to win and Melo's supposed to win.
I mean, the flip side of that is to stay where you're at and become like Steve Nash, where you're beloved in the community, but you don't have a chance of winning ever. You're just playing to put up numbers.
I don't think Nash could ever win anyway, though. I don't think Nash could ever win a chip anyway, just the way
you know what? They built Nash up so much in Phoenix that they were thinking about trading him to a contender just because they feel sorry for him and he's done so much for the city, blah, blah, blah.
Yo,
so you can take the Nash route and get the pity trade.
The front office of Phoenix said they would have gladly traded him to a contender. All he had to do was ask for it.
Exactly. But it was like Minnesota and Kevin Garnett. Like, he had done so much for the franchise that they were like, all right, let's help the dude win a chip since we're not going to do it here.
But he was like, I'm not going to go ask for it because that's not the kind of person I am. So you can get caught in that situation too. I mean, Dwight Howard could be the most beloved guy in Orlando and still not win. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's 6-1, half dozen of another. You have one where, you can put the pressure on yourself, but if you're an elite athlete at that level, shouldn't you want that pressure?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's like Jeff Durant, you see, like, Durant and Rose, they're like, yo, I can do this. I don't care. You see what I'm saying?
They're playing the Midwest, though. All you got, like PJ said, if you make the playoffs in the Midwest, you're the king. They don't even care about championships.
I think a part of this, again, harkens back to the culture that we live in, man. It's a culture of immediacy. Dude wants the easy road. He also, like, it's almost like these guys a lot of times play for their brand. It's like they want to go to some place where their brand is going to be benefited by the market as opposed to just focusing on their craft. Like, Dwight, as good as he is, he needs to focus on continuing to develop his offensive repertoire and game. In the meantime, he's busy looking at LeBron and looking at this one and looking at that one. And yo, it's sickening.
It's actually sickening. I still think, like, at a certain level, you know, you don't really need to be in a certain place for your brand to do well. Like, once you get to a certain level of superstardom, like, come on. Like, LeBron could have went to Idaho, and he's still going to be, you know, on the fast track to $1 billion.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, by the time he's 40. For some cats, I don't think that matters.
It's all part of the skinny jean culture. But here's what the issue is. It's becoming like wrestling. I remember watching wrestling back in the day, and you would have, like, certain cats who would, you know, join forces with one wrestler. So, yo, your only objective now is, like, yo, he down with the Four Horsemen. I got to get down with this squad so I can compete. The NBA is becoming wrestling, yo. That's exactly what it is now. So a lot of these players feel like Miami done changed the game to the point where I can't compete unless I go team up with somebody else. I got to find
a cat. How whack is that?
Man, I mean, that's why I knew that the trend was going to catch.
I'm saying the trend is going to catch because
other people feel that they're not going to have a chance. Unless they
I'm not saying it's not whack. I'm saying it is what it is. This is what it is.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not saying that you're saying it's not whack. I'm just commenting on it. It's whack.
It's the skinny jean culture, man.
Run off some of them trades. Even if we don't have all the details of the trades, just some people who change uniform, so we can get into some of this football talk in a minute.
Let's start with Austin's main man, Derek Fisher. He got sent.
Derek Fisher is gone
to Houston.
Yes.
Sorry, my bad.
I know the terms of that one. He went. It was Fisher and a number one pick to Houston for Jordan Hill. So that's not a bad pickup for the Lakers. That's, you know.
Explain this deal to me.
I guess they never got Beasley, huh? They were working on Beasley.
It's not over yet. But somebody explain this deal to me. Jerrell Wallace goes to the Nets for some draft picks. But what were the Nets thinking and doing? What is Billy King doing?
I don't know. Like, before I could really answer that, I would have to know his contract situation. Is he expiring?
Expiring at the end of the year.
Yeah, he probably.
But why would you trade a
pick that's
going to be a good pick?
His thought process was to free up cap space for Dwight. But Dwight.
Yeah, but this is after Dwight already signed his paperwork. He then makes this move. This was after the fact, which is why it's really confusing to me.
Maybe get other people. Maybe look at cap
expiring contract for other people.
Remember though, with the Dwight thing, all this really means is he's going to start the season as an Orlando Magic. He can go through the same
thing
next year.
He can do the same thing
and say, I want to be traded. And maybe this time they'll trade him at the beginning of the season so they don't have to sabotage their season waiting to see what he's going to do next year.
Here's why it really didn't make any sense to me because, like, the Nets, let me see, the Nets send out, like, Bam Adebayo and Sean Williams to, like, Portland or whatever. But they had expiring contracts. So what are you really doing?
I think Billy King. I see it as some way to try to open up some cap space, but if those dudes were already expiring, I don't know. I can't call it.
But that's what
I'm
saying. Back with him or something?
Just like,
you know, the luxury tax gets more significant with next year. So I think a lot of times teams, you're not going to pay a dollar for a dollar. Now they're paying like $1 for $1.50. So owners are like, yo, we need to shed salary at all costs.
But what I'm saying is,
they think they're going to be able to attract free agents, even if it's not going to be Dwight Howard. They think their move to New York is going to be able to attract them free agents. So I can see how he's trying to clear up cap space, but I'm with Jimmy.
Listen to this. He traded away $13 million coming off the books to get back $9 million coming off the books.
Did he get a pick back with it, though? Did they give him a pick or something?
They gave them a pick. They gave the Blazers a pick. Like, I don't understand. unless like, Joe Wallace is going to sign an extension and stay in Jersey, unless that's a big catch.
Yeah,
I don't get it at all. As soon as
Dwight did that option, they pretty much lost Darren Williams. He's probably going to Dallas, so they can kill it.
Yeah.
the Brooklyn Nets going to be some trash. They thought they were going to come right out of the gate being nice. They're going to be trash.
I blame Jay-Z for this, yo.
don't know why. I just
yeah, I know. Of course, Manta. This was the first trade earlier in the week. Manta for Bogut and Captain Jack. Captain Jack is going back to the Warriors. Like I said, Fisher in the first pick for Jordan Hill. Sam Young to the Sixers for future considerations. Did the Sixers need Sam Young? Like,
no, it's not a bad, it's not a bad pickup, but we didn't really, need him.
Don't really make a difference.
How about if we don't need him? It's a bad pickup because the Sixers have need.
Well,
if you have a team that doesn't need a specific thing and they just pick somebody up, okay, that's not bad. But if you don't need this cat,
yo, that's why they signed him. They signed him to help Evan Turner get his offensive game up, you know, because Sam Young is a great defender. So they figure in practice, you know, yeah, he'll help Evan Turner round out his game, even though Turner's the baller. But also, Jefferson, hey, Captain Jack got sent back to San Antonio, I believe, too. Yeah.
Instead of packing right away, they traded him to San Antonio for Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, I know. It was a three-way deal that sent JaVale McGee to Denver. Nick Young to the Clippers, Nene to the Wizards. I know he probably mad as hell at Denver right now.
Yo, Nene got game. That ain't cool. Did he just sign a deal?
Yeah, they. I guess the Denver probably like the way we kind of run. JaVale probably fits that team better because Denver's kind of athletic at this point. They're kind of fast and athletic, so he probably would fit the mold a little bit better. But Nene probably like, y'all really gonna send me to Washington, man? Really?
That's not cool, man. That's not cool. It didn't dirty, yo.
Yeah. Down the pike since we?
Those are.
Oh, the Lakers got Ramon Sessions. I forgot Lakers got Ramon Sessions.
The Lakers pretty much upgraded. Sessions way better than Fisher at this point.
Hey, is it me or does Ramon Sessions get way more notoriety than he should? Like, when he was a free agent, like, a couple years ago, it's like his name just kept coming up in all these deals, and I don't know, people were fighting over his rights.
He's one of those backup. He's like one of those backup point guards that you covet because he can come off the bench and score. Your man Barbosa is going to Indiana. Toronto gave Indiana Barbosa for a second-round pick. That's about it. That's all I see right now. If you guys see any extra moves,
man, I'm telling you, between all these NBA moves and what's going on in football, it's just wild right now. It's hard to keep up with everything.
It is very hard to keep up right now.
Man, speaking of that, man, let's jump into some NFL talk.
All right, before we get into the moves of free agency, let's go back earlier in the week. Let's go back to last Friday when the Washington Redskins, I guess when they pretty much thought that they were out of the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, they went ahead and made their move. And they gave the Rams, funny thing, shout out to Shane Gray, we were just talking to a Rams reporter on last week's show. They gave the Rams first-round picks and a second to get up to that number two spot, basically to draft Robert Griffin III. I'll give you my opinion on it before, you know, we let B. Austin trash the Redskins. It's bad. I mean, the Redskins are known for overpaying, but it may not be as bad as it sounds completely, because it's, when you hear three first-round picks, you go crazy. But really, it's two first, you know, really the first one, they're just swapping spots. You know what I'm saying? The first one, they're moving up to two. The Rams are moving back to six. So that's what's happening this year in the first round. Then they're going to give up next year's first round, then the year after's first round, and they're going to give up this year's second round. That's a hefty haul for an unknown commodity. But, you know, they're speaking like the first two quarterbacks in this year's draft are going to be can't-miss prospects. And, you know, I was all ready and willing to root for RG3, but now that he's in the division with the Redskins, I have no other choice but to root for him to be a Jamarcus Russell, a straight-up failure. I have no choice.
Well,
sorry,
it's not hard to root against him. I mean, look at his haircut, or lack thereof. My whole thing is, and I've heard this as well, because the salary scale, the rookie salary scale is in place, the value of first round picks is a little lower than it has been in past. But to give up that many picks,
but still that many first, you would need to put around whoever you put at quarterback.
Exactly, because with first round picks trading at a premium, see, the other thing that you can consider is you could bring in quality free agents with those picks, or you can trade down into the lower rounds to get positions that are necessary for your team, but that don't trade at a premium during draft time.
When have they ever been smart enough to do that?
Yo,
even if Vinny Serrato's gone, who they blame all their troubles on, you know, you got Bruce Allen and Shanahan in here, and they're still making bonehead decisions.
Yo, this is one of the more egregious moves that I've ever seen. And the thing is, you got the black protectionists that are probably going to come at my neck based on not supporting Robert Griffin. It has nothing to do with RG3. Like, outside of me being an Eagles fan, so I have to root for him to break both his legs every year, outside of that, I would have wanted to see the dude be successful. It has nothing to do with him. It could be any team in the league outside of the other three teams that are in the NFC East, and I could be turned into an RG3 fan, and he could be great, but I would still say that this was one of the dumber moves that any team has ever done, in my opinion.
Come on,
I mean, of course, you're going to have people say if he turns into a really good quarterback, you're going to have people say it was worth it. But I still maintain, you know, even if he turns into a good, you know, a really good quarterback, it's still a lot to give up because you're stunting his growth, you know, because you're giving up position, you're giving up picks that, you know, you could have built around this man and gave him help to become a better quarterback earlier. But
I mean, you could say that, but without giving up those picks, you wouldn't have him. So, but all I'm saying is only time will tell. Like,
no, but Jim,
he can be a complete epic failure, and you just never know when it comes to quarterbacks, because a lot of times it doesn't even matter what they did at the collegiate level. The transition to the NFL, some guys make it, and some guys just don't. So only time will tell. This guy can turn around and be the best quarterback ever.
To your point, where you said if you don't give up them picks, you don't have them. But you got to remember, this is Washington. They mess around and ask for two, and Washington's like, yeah, man, all right, we'll throw you in another one. So another team may have gotten them for that, but if Washington is just going to give you stuff. Like,
yo, wouldn't it be hilarious if the Colts just take RG3?
I know. I mean, the Redskins know they're fine. Like, you know, listening to the radio down here, they're fine with either pick. So if the Colts take RG3, actually I think the Redskins would think, okay, it's even more of a win-win now. Luck is number one on their board.
We got it worked out for the Chargers.
Yeah. But speaking of the Skins, we're jumping ahead, but only for the Skins. They also gave Pierre Garçon, what was it, 5 years, $40-something million?
$41.
Whatever it was $7 million more than Indianapolis was offering him. I heard a reporter ask him, like, you know, was getting a chance to play with RG3, you know, the reason that you signed here? And Pierre Garçon kept it real. He was like, it wasn't really that, because if I would have stayed in Indianapolis, I would have had the chance to play with Andrew Luck. It was just the fact that the Redskins showed me that they wanted me more. So what does that mean? The Redskins did what the Redskins do. You know,
we're talking football stuff, and you know that this past week the Buccaneers made a couple moves, and maybe that's why the homie Willie Garland is waiting to come on the air.
Show me the money! Bring him on. Yeah.
I'll bring him on.
We gotta keep it brief,
Willie Garland, what's up, homie?
What's going on, fellas?
Willie G!
You're a happy man? Y'all got Vincent Jackson? Y'all got a target out there?
We got the top wide receiver in the game, and not in the game, but in the free agency.
Oh, okay.
I'm about to come down there looking for you.
when you become that?
What?
That's still our black quarterback, though.
Yeah, that's Hey, but we signed. But we got a white black a white a backup quarterback, so we might be all right.
So y'all racist, man.
No, but actually,
man.
What's the name?
I think we finally spent some money, man. That's the problem. My franchise do not spend money. They don't like to break off nobody.
Yeah, but
let me ask you a question.
Y'all gotta
understand.
Why y'all
wait to the
small market? It's hard to spend money that you don't have, man. Everybody be wanting their team to just
break the bank. We had a bunch of money last year, but we put $19 million into a punter.
Well, you know the
answer. Whoa. You feel me? $19 million into a punter last year.
Y'all,
we had a bunch of money last
y'all
year.
Y'all had like, the most money in the league to spend, but my question is, why y'all wait till the brother leave to start spending the money?
Yeah, they were sabotaging the brother. They were getting Raheem
didn't build. He didn't believe in that spending money stuff. He wanted to build young through the draft. That was his philosophy. So they went with it.
That's not a bad.
Not, you know what I'm saying?
Man.
It didn't work.
Yeah, but when does it ever work? When people go break them, everybody wants their team to do with what's been unsuccessful for all the other teams. How's that spending money worked out for the Redskins, the Cowboys? How's not spending money? Well, the Eagles don't usually do that. I guess last year they just fell and bumped their heads a little bit. But how's that worked out? How's not spending money worked out for the Patriots? I mean, they haven't won since Spygate, but they're always there, at least.
I said the Patriots got a better scouting game than a lot of other teams do. They find a bunch of nobodies and still win. You know what I'm saying? So it could be the scouting game. Now, who knows?
They're on their Billy Bean. I'm actually reading Moneyball right now, and that's what he did for the Oakland A's. And they're on their Billy Bean.
Are you excited about
these cats,
this move?
I just hope these cats don't get all this money and just and stink it up because they got paid.
Yeah, once you get them guarantees, man, you don't have incentive to play hard anymore.
Y'all cut the check.
Well, you know how you can get them to play hard, right? You just call down there and get a bounty system started.
Hey, we can do that too. I wanted to ask y'all, what's up with your boy DeSean Jackson in the Super Bowl prediction already?
Clown, man. He just put the target on our backs just like Vince Young did last year. This dude signed a deal.
He didn't learn from the Dream Team?
Yeah, man. He's
a clown. He don't fit in.
I don't think it's impossible for the Eagles to win a Super Bowl within the next 5 years, like he said, but like it shouldn't be coming from him. Like, you basically tanked last season because you were upset, because you were pouting. Now you get your dough and you want to come out being all brash, making big statements, and I don't like it.
I just want him to stop rapping.
If he stay out the booth, he cool with me. So, Willie, what's your prediction for your squad this year, man?
If we show up, we got some nice cornerbacks coming in. If we get, like, I think one more decent defensive lineman to rush the quarterback, I think we got a chance to make the playoffs this year.
It ain't going to be Mario.
We ain't going to have no year like last year.
It ain't going to be Mario.
But, you know, he way over there in Buffalo. We ain't got too much worry about him. I don't think we play Buffalo.
He going to murder Mark Sanchez this year.
Yeah, no doubt, man. But we got to see what happens with your squad, Willie. You know, y'all finally spent money once the brother left. But, you know,
Hold on, Willie. Can we get a number, though? I mean, 9-7, 8-8.
Go, fellas.
And
we only got 7 minutes.
You
want to
run the number? I said we go 10-6.
10-6.
Okay, we're going to hold you there. We're going to see.
Thanks for your call, man.
We're about to finish the show. Right. Thanks for the call, homie.
Yeah.
All right, real quick, speaking, since we were on the Skins before he – on the Skins. We always used to be. We're talking about the Skins before. The Skins and the Cowboys got some cap space taken from them because of the way they front-loaded some big contracts during the uncapped year. And we don't have to talk long about this. We only got a few minutes left anyway, and we didn't get to any of the moves. But I really don't understand why they're being punished. They're the Skins and the Cowboys, so I'm happy they're being punished. But it doesn't really seem fair to me. It's an uncapped year. Everybody seemed to look forward to that uncapped year so they can do things like this. But they said it was some unwritten code between the owners and the Redskins, and the Cowboys broke it. So the Redskins are going to get $36 million in cap space taken from them in the next 2 years. The Cowboys, 10. So they're going to do half of it this year and half of it next year. Kill, what do you think about the Cowboys? Or is Kill still here? Oh, Kill bounced.
He actually stepped out, yeah.
All right.
What do you think about that? Didn't they say that the owners and all of them knew about it, though? Even though there was, like, the unwritten rule that they broke? I thought that the other owners knew what they did, though. Or no?
I think it was something where they said the owners was, like, you know, telling teams, like, all right, you know, y'all know that loophole is out there, but nobody do that. Like, it was kind of like a brotherly, unwritten handshake type thing, and the Redskins said, FOH as soon as free agency started.
My man Jay Jones said,
it was Haynesworth and D'Angelo Hall. So basically, they're getting $36 million taken from them for two players that was not worth it.
I was just about to say that for them.
Damn. Yeah. That guy.
That might have been the worst signing in history. That Haynesworth, John, with it, at the end of it. Like, yeah.
It actually, anyway, from a financial standpoint, they're saying that it wasn't because they front loaded the contracts instead of stretching it out. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's an uncapped year.
I would have tried to take advantage of that too, and front loaded, and paid most of the money during the uncapped year. So when the next few years come, I have more cap space. Like, what's the problem?
Logically that makes sense, right?
But I guess that's what they didn't want everybody to do. So, few more nuggets. Brandon Jacobs, they couldn't come to an agreement. He was asking too much, so the Giants told him to roll out. The Jets, this was before Peyton Manning. You know, Peyton Manning never really ruled them out. Unless he refused a visit or something. They signed Sanchez to a 3-year extension with like $20 million in guarantees, $41 in quote unquote new money, and altogether in the next 5 years he'll be making
$41 million
in new money. And then $58 million. All together within the next 5 years. Like, what the hell were they thinking?
I don't see it in Sanchez, man. I just don't see it yet. I don't know, man.
PJ, I think it was one of them things where they were like, when they decided that they weren't going to be in the Peyton Manning sweepstakes, you know, Sanchez is sensitive. So they probably like, man, let's throw this dude a bone. But that's a lot of bones to throw the dude just so he would be pouting, man. That's a lot of bones. That's crazy. So that's what's happening with Sanchez. Sorry, people, we're rushing through because we only got a few minutes left. Of course, the Peyton Manning courtship continues. Last week they said his finalists were between Denver and Arizona. Today they're saying his finalists are between Arizona and Tennessee because Tennessee's owner has offered Peyton the rest, you know, his life. He said Peyton could be his son, and he'll leave everything to him if he quarterbacks the Tennessee Titans. He gave his boy. He offered him a lifetime deal, talking about you can work in the front office for the rest of your working day. I'm like,
he said he would have let him smash his wife, but his wife old, so he could smash his grandkids. I'm like, come on, man.
What's his name? Bud Adams? Somebody?
Bud Adams.
Yeah,
but he's the same dude that wanted Vince Young. He's the same dude that wanted to keep Vince Young and thought Vince Young was a good guy to have in the organization.
Yeah, they said he often gets into the mix with, like, he'll fall in love with a player and he'll make the franchise go get him. And you saw what happened with Vince Young. He's promising Peyton everything. And they met yesterday for 7 hours. So, I mean, if you're going to sit around
for 7 hours, though.
Exactly. But if you sit around and you talk to somebody for 7 hours, then you must be strongly considering.
He met with Miami for like 7 hours. My thing is, what are y'all talking about in these long ass meetings?
Can we go see a movie real quick or something?
They probably sent to give him a twirly or something. Like, there's something else going on. That's a long time.
They put Jerry Buss in, and Jerry Buss came with a plane full of people from the Forum Club.
Forum Club. he brought the Forum Club fancies with him.
All right, so real quick, since we got like 2 minutes left, maybe three. What are some of the notable signings and re-signings that y'all seen? We know Megatron, Detroit backed like the whole city, the treasury from the whole city. They backed that up to his crib.
Free Kwame Kilpatrick. Yo, Megatron got paid
$132 million and $60 million guaranteed. It's not only, you know, the best contract ever for a wide receiver, but with the $60 million guaranteed, it's the best contract ever. Better than Brady, better than Manning. Not for a wide receiver, man. He's a beast. But they are tearing the market up right now. And
Calvin Mugatron Johnson.
Mugatron.
I can't imagine, like you said, Dev. I just can't imagine that much money for a wide receiver. That position is, like, I mean, he's great, but, I mean, that position can be taken out of the game in some way.
Exactly.
Like,
if you have a bump quarterback, if his backup comes in, he disappears.
Right.
Remember when everybody
right.
thought T.O. was done because he did nothing in Buffalo? And then
right.
he went to a joint with a team with a decent quarterback and showed
mm-hmm.
that he could still play? It's too dependent
yep.
of a position to pay that kind of money, man.
Listen, I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard a rumor that Calvin Johnson put a down payment on Flint, Michigan.
You're going to bring Flint back. Yeah. You know his first tweet after getting his contract was, anybody know where I can get that Ferrari? Oh, man, you're going to be one
did
of
he?
Them, huh?
Oh, come on, man.
Did he? He said that? Oh, come
yeah.
on, man.
Can we thank God or something first, Antoine Walker? Like, come on, man.
Exactly. He's going to be on. He's going to be on.
First tweet is, you know I can get that Ferrari. First off, aren't you sponsored by Acura? What are you doing? You're disloyal. You're disloyal.
Speaking of. You saw when Tiger Woods left that tournament this week, he rolled out in the Benz. He was not in the Buick.
He always rolled in the S-Class.
Oh, no. Buick left him. Yo, Buick left him when he was getting his form.
Oh, they rolled out? Yo, not like he would have been driving one anyway, though. All right,
hold
so,
on, though. Was sponsored by Buick? Yo, Tiger had a Buick, but his Buick you couldn't buy nowhere. Tiger's
had
Buick.
A special Buick.
With a Buick logo on it.
Thank
you. Man, that wasn't nothing but a Hyundai Equus. Come on, man. But all right, D-Jack signs with the Eagles, 5 years, $51 million. I heard it's really like $48.5 million, $15 million guarantees. The surprise of the week for me was Reggie Wayne re-signing with the Colts. I thought he was going to follow Peyton anywhere he went. I guess Peyton was taking too long. Reggie Wayne had some bills to pay.
He said, please, I got kids to feed.
Orton goes to Dallas to be their backup. Of course, Garcon with the Redskins, Vincent Jackson with the Buccaneers, Marcus Colston re-ups with the Saints, and Drew Brees still don't have a contract. Randy Moss signed with the Niners after getting his workout. He was getting balls thrown to him from Harbaugh himself. Peyton Hillis, the NFL Madden cover boy, he's in Kansas City now. Then you got the big deal that they gave Mario. Mario Williams got the biggest deal of any defensive player ever. Buffalo gave him almost $100 million with $50 million guaranteed. People are getting
free cash, homie.
Contracts are ridiculous right now.
Man,
I think Buffalo needed that, though. The consensus is that Buffalo just needed a big name. They needed to show that they can land a big name so other people may want to come there. So, like the Knicks, Buffalo might be back.
Yo,
I think
man.
They jumped the gun on that Fitzpatrick contract last year, though.
Oh, yeah, they did. They listened to me. See, they was listening to me. I was hyping on him earlier in the year, and then they said, oh, that's real.
They could have signed.
But you know what, though? I mean, once he got his money is when his game started to die. Like, yo. I guess it's hard once you get to that point where you get a nice check and you land in there with some nice young yummy. It's like it's hard.
I don't think that was it at all with him. Not to take it on a serious note, but when Fred Jackson got injured and they started dropping out of the box and making Fitzpatrick throw against them.
Man, he starts thinking it up before Fred Jackson got injured. But we can talk about this another
time. Yeah, we gotta get.
You know what I'm saying? Thanks for joining us in the war room this evening, family. Shout out to everyone who participated in our chat room on Facebook, Twitter, and by calling in. Special thanks to Funny Woman Aaron Jackson for joining us in the war room tonight. Tune in next week
Same time, same place, they hear the general speak. That was nice. We'll be talking more March Madness, and we'll be catching you up on the best sports stories of the week. So until next week, everybody, follow us all over the internet, because we all over that place.
Not sweating.
Plus the breeze.